That's not good yet.
That's not good yet. Yes, it's also you have that. That's a very interesting point, because you say that you have compassion means you're directing it at someone. You're tolerant means it's directed towards somebody. It's not just you're there, otherwise it's just, you know, just that shanta, that peacefulness. So then that means since you're directing it at somebody, then how real is it if it's not being really used properly, either by yourself or the other? It was directed to Krishna, now you can say, now it's real. Just like material world, you have things here, it's you use it directed towards Krishna, we call it real. It's not directed towards Krishna, we call it illusion. Does that make sense? It's another kind of perspective you could look at it, to just show that you don't have it, rather than it's just borrowed. It's that, even you say they have that quality, but since it's not directed at Krishna, it's illusion. We know it exists because the qualities come from Krishna. They exist. He's existence. But not being directed in the context of Him, they don't. It's illusion because they're temporary. It's not real. The soul's eternal. So how is something temporary you call real? You know, it's just like if I come with a briefcase, you know, one of those nice, you know, what do you call it, aluminum briefcases, right? Those are the ones they always bring the money in, right? I open it up, you know, this $1 million. I say, this is yours. Wow, okay, well, this is so great. Okay, that's it. You know, now we're taking it back. Now can you tell everybody, yeah, I got $1 million. So just because it may last for a few years or even a lifetime or even a few lifetimes, but can the soul say they have that quality? Where did that quality come from? Why is it changed? Why is it samsara? Why is it going around? That means at the top you have good qualities, at the bottom you don't. You know, from the bottom going to the top, you're gaining them. From the top going to the bottom, you're losing them. So if the soul has them, how does this happen? Because they're looking right now at this moment. But the point is, what about the eternality of the soul? Where is that quality?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you're not trying to help the living entity, because it's their nature to serve Krishna. So that's what the compassion is. That's why then those that are willing to understand that, then you interact with them. Those that are not, you leave them. It's not that, oh, you don't care and this and that. No, you can't do anything with them. You know, it's just like the medic, right? He's on the battlefield, right? After some interaction and all that, then let's say there's 20 guys that are wounded. Now, of those 20 guys, which one does he take care of? The ones he can actually help. So if somebody's there, they're going to die anyway. But he spends, you know, half an hour with them until he dies. But then those other guys that are there, let's say, for example, there's a bunch of guys. Like, then why that guy? Why not them all? Or you drag them all together and just sit with them, all of them. But then what about the other 15 if you had spent the time with them, they would have lived. So can you say you really did something? Because they're gone.
Justice. They owe them.
Huh?
It's just they all died.
Yeah, you start with one, but the other night, I'm hanging out with these for all of you guys. So that's the thing, you go to where it is, you know, where does water go? Let's say there's a rock here. The water just is coming down the hill, and that nice little thing gets to the rock, and it just piles up behind the rock and then pushes the rock down, or it just goes around. So if you're accomplishing something, people becoming Krishna conscious, where that ease of Krishna conscious is, that's what you take. And you work to your best ability to how many you can take with you, you take. No?
Yeah.
Otherwise, then we're looking at it from an illusory point of view. And then the holy karmas have such good qualities, we should follow them and all of that. But why do they have the qualities? You know, it's famous. I mean, at least in America, it's famous that the politicians say all kinds of stuff, but after election, generally they never do any of it. One or two things they may make a little bit of a show of. It's very rare. So the guy that actually does something, you know, he's remembered in history. You know, so it's just known. So all these they do, and then you come back after a few years, done. So it's that we have faith in something, and we're looking to, in this case, the Karmis, for example, that they accomplish my desire. But otherwise, you know, it's not actually that they giving the example that actually is doing it. Like I mentioned, in the 60s, the whole feminist movement started by two main ladies. And they worked really hard, built it up, and, you know, got the momentum going that the whole movement had been organized rather than just, you know, ladies being grumpy for the last, you know, however it is, since, they call it the Sweta Varaha Kalpa, I think, you know, yeah, so, you know, it became organized into a movement. But then some lady wrote the book. You know, it was kind of like so many years later, 20 or 30 years later. You know, maybe it was more like 30 years later. It was kind of like, what happened to these ladies? They were so prominent. What did they do? What did they do with their life? So they went in and researched it and wrote a book on it. So, you know, one of them, you know, married a dock worker. You know, the real, you know, man's man with all the tattoos and really, you know, rough and tough and like that. You know, the Popeye, the sailor guy. And, you know. And the other one married some rich tycoon. I mean, that was just, you know, so exact in his organization that she had her place, he'd send the limousine, pick her up. Only when she's in the limousine, then it comes up, he's waiting there, he gets in the car and goes. He won't go and pick her up. Because when he goes, she may not be ready. So he understands ladies like to take their time, so he'll send the car when she's ready, then he'll come down and then they'll go to dinner. And when you go to dinner, he's already picked the place, he's already phoned ahead the menu, you just go and sit. So she was saying, all you have to do is, you know, be pleasant and nice, be feminine. And he takes care of everything else. Like, so the exact opposite of what they were fighting about. You know? So then if you were taking it that it's about the thing, then you go, hey, maybe there's something wrong with it. Right? You know, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya or Pakashananda Saraswati, you know, really, really qualified in their area. But because they were sincere seekers, then they saw there are weaknesses. And when the weaknesses are pointed out, they accept it. But if it's a matter of, no, it's just a matter, we have to do this, whatever reason is for, because I'll get benefit. Then even if it doesn't work, then, you know, it's just, you know, carry on the fight. You know, it's like when you're going into battle and the guy carrying the flag, he gets shot, and then, you know, they have the points at the bottom. You know, you could fight with them, but it's for sticking into the ground before you fall, so the flag doesn't fall. And then the next guy picks it up and goes. You know, so it's just, yeah, you know, so it's like that. The issue is the important, not actually that it's accomplishing anything or getting anything. So we always have to be careful with that. That's the problem with the political, economic, justice level, that pranamoy level, which is technically you could say is, oh, but they're glorious, but what position is it in? It's in the position of artha, not dharma. And not even kama. It means you have this. It's not even that you're going to get anything of benefit. It's not even like, you know, you get a good meal out of it or, you know, something, you know, you get a good night's rest or, you know, so it's like you go for that. So what did he get? Did he get anything of, was it solid? Okay, you went for this maya. Did you get some good maya at least? But if you didn't, then it's kind of like, well, what was the point? No. Harih Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavatitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 4 Adhikarna 1 Description of Goloka, the eternal abode of Krishna. Tam ekam govindam satchidananda vigraham panchapadam vrindavana sura buruha talasinam satatam samarud gano ham para maya stutya toshayami. Along with the Maruts, I eternally satisfy Govinda, a form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, non-different from his mantra, seated under a desire tree in Vrindavan, by offering praise. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 1.33. Jamuna jala kalole sada kridati madhavaha. Krishna eternally plays in the waves of Jamuna's waters, or in Vrindavan, which has Yamuna's waves. Padmapurana, Patala, Kanda. This place with Jamuna's waters is in Vrindavan, according to the context. By Ajaha Lakshana, this means Krishna plays on the bank of the Jamuna. The bank indicates Vrindavan. The Shruti text Krishna Upanishad specifically states that Vrindavan is Vaikuntha. Gokulam Vana Vaikuntham. Gokula is Vaikuntha in a forest form. Krishna Upanishad. Since it is said in scriptures that these places are eternal, Mathura and other dhammas are vibhutis of Krishna's surup. Sa Bhagava Kasmin Pratishtita Iti Sve Mahim Ni. The Lord is situated in his place, which is his own power. Chandogya Upanishad 1.24.1. Therefore it is said, Sakshat Brahma Gopala Purihi. Krishna's city is directly Brahman. Gopala Tapani Upanishad 2.26. So this aspect, when he says this, is a vibhuti of Krishna's sarup. So that's the thing of this. When you say Krishna's sarup, it means name, form, qualities, pastimes, dham, associates, everything. That's sarup. Because generally we take it sarup just meaning the body. Because we're, you know, quite happy, you know, it's like you have the thing of what's our sarup, what's our body? You know, or you know, sarup siddhi, oh, I got a body. You know, like that. Or Vastu City, I get to keep the body. You know, like that. But the actual Sarup means everything about it. So, Jivir Sarupoi Krishna Nitya Das, that's Sarup. And then expanding that, then you have the particular form, particular activities, the situation, all those kind of things. Does that make sense? So, because we're limited in it, then we take it for granted, everything else is there, but we focus on that. Like here, if you have money, then you're going to be, you're good, or you have prestige or position or facilities, you know, then it's good. He has a nice house, but whether he can use the house, or if he can do anything in the house, or he actually enjoys himself in the house, that's where we don't get into. We just take it for granted automatically. We have the thing, you know, we have the dead matter, then we say it's, you know, then that's the goal. But actually, no, that's just the situation. Right? So Krishna means the whole thing. That's his sarup. That there is the whole cosmos. That's part of the Suru. Right? So everything, therefore, it all exists. Where does it come? It comes from him. He's Suru. He's, therefore, that's the point. He's the source of everything. He's the avatari. All the avatars come from him. All the jivas, all the energies, everything comes from him. That's his Suru. That's why I say it comes from his Suru. It can't come from nothing. You can't get something from nothing. It's not scientific. Tejo mayam idam ramyam adrishyam charma chakshusha. This effulgent, attractive place cannot be seen with material eyes. Gotamiya Tantra. This is also concluded in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, in which Kashi is said to have a similar form. Some sages acquire from Vishnu. What is that light in the shape of an umbrella that appears above the water? Why does it not sink into the water along with inundated earth? What is this permanent place? What is this permanent place described 100 times of the Veda, Vedanta and Vedas? It shelters the jivas burned by the 3 miseries. O Lord of the universe, just from seeing it one becomes successful. O Janardana, you also look at this place repeatedly. You gaze at it as if astonished, though you have the most astonishing form. Vishnu answers, that bright light in the form of an umbrella seen moving in the sky, that supreme light beyond matter, is called Kashi on earth. As a jewel is set in gold, Kashi is set on earth. Kashi is not at all made of earth. It does not become submerged because it is my eternal abode. When all material objects are submerged during Palaya, this place, being knowledge and bliss, is not submerged. When Antaryami and the body are situated in the same place, they do not become one. Similarly, Kashi remains as Brahman when it associates with the material world. The Lord does not make anything in Kashi out of matter. In the form of Varaha, I will lift up the earth. My dear Kashi will again be established on earth. Chaitana in the verse means Antaryami, and Jara means the material body because Paramatma was mentioned. Paramatma with 4 arms is said to be situated in the body. Kechit sva dehantara. Na dehantara hridaya va kashe pradesha matram purusham vasantam. Some yogis meditate upon the Paramatma measuring one Pradesh, who is residing in the heart within the body. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.8.
Pradesh?
Pradesh. So, the measurement, like, for everyone, like, for you, that measurement is how the proportion of how your body is made. Right, where Prabhu, his would be big, and the proportion is there. Because you see everything goes, like the face, your face is that size. You know, if you go from the chin to there, you know, then from here, then that brings you to the next chakra here.
Oh.
See, that chakra goes to the next one, the heart chakra, you know, each one like that. You know, so it also measures, you know, from here, here, then like that. So you get all the different, everything's done on that. So that's why if you're making, let's say, in the Silpa Shastra, you're making a deity, then you have that length on the deity, then how the proportion of their body. So depending upon what it is, Vishnu has certain, has the best proportions, demigods have quite good proportions, humans have all nice, all right proportions. You know, monkeys is a little bit out of proportion. You know. You know. Like that, you know, it's like the demigod, they have their hands down to the knees, you know, monkey has hands down to the ground, you know, so things are a little out of proportion, you know. So everything goes by that, so then that's the size he sits in the heart, you know, and so that'll be according to the living entity, right? So then, you know, an ant, then that much for an ant is very small, so then, you know. And for a germ, then even smaller, like that. Just as Antaryami is not touched by pains of the body, similarly Kshatriya is not influenced by the material world. Thus the abodes of the Lord have dual manifestations in the spiritual or material world. Right, so they have their transcendental and that. So he's just pointing out that the abodes are transcendental. So it's Vishnu's abode. Right? Because it's Vishnu's abode and Shiva likes to be there. And because the devotee, then many times we see the devotee is more prominent than the Lord. But in reality, there it be considered only one, right? So you have the material world and spiritual world, right? So you have the dual manifestations of here. But in reality, there it be considered only one. Since, being the residence of the Lord, like his form, there's no contradiction in one form appearing in both places. Right? Krishna's here, Krishna's there, or Antaryami's in all the bodies, so he's still one. They are celebrated with the same qualities, forms, and names in both places. And they are versatile. That one form of the Lord can manifest as many is shown in Bhagavad Sandarbha. It is said in Bhagavatam, Chittaram Bhataitad Ekena Vapusha Yugapat Pritak Griheshu Tvyastra Sahastram Striya Eka Uda Vahat. It is quite amazing that in a single body, Lord Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 women, each in a separate palace. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.69.2. This becomes possible because of the Lord's inconceivable Shakti. Inconceivable Shakti in the Lord is accepted in Shrutis. In Shrutis tu Shabda Mula Vat. Yeah, it should go into italics, no?
Yes.
When it's in the verse, it's italics. When it's not in the verse, then it's not. Yes. The defects of an agent do not apply to Brahman because of scriptural statements, which are the only proof concerning inconceivable subjects. Brahma Sutra 2.127. So that would also then deal with the one that we were discussing before, is that the defects in the subject don't affect Brahman. So since everything is Krishna and all the qualities are Krishna and everything, because he's expanding through his energies, but those positions being taken by the jivas and collecting around them that aspect of Krishna's energy that is accorded to them according to their work, but the defects of how they use it, how they see it, all these things don't apply in Brahman, even though it's actually Brahman. Does that make sense? So that's his inconceivable Shakti. So that inconceivable Shakti does that, you know, and it also, you know, when it's on the spiritual, that he's expanded into all the different palaces. Yeah. Yeah. In describing Goloka, Hari Vamsa's intention is to show that the abodes situated in the material and spiritual worlds are non-different. Sahi Sarvagato Mahan. This place is great and all-pervading. Difference seems to be indicated, however, in Brahma Samhita. Goloka Eva Nivasatya Kilatma Bhutaha. The Lord, regarding the people of Goloka as himself, resides only in Goloka, exclusively with the gopis as his wives. Brahma Samhita 5.48. The word Eva, the Lord resides only in the spiritual world, seems to contradict what Varaha Purana says about eternal pastimes which take place in the material realm. However, there is no contradiction since the two abodes are still one. Brahma Samhita accepts this principle. Right? So if they're both one, then even though he just stays there in Goloka, and it, you know, but they're one, so he's here also. Right? He only stays there, but the two places are the same, so he's here. Right? That's why it's just today. Prabhupada was giving a lecture in, I think, Bhubaneswar. I think it was Bhubaneswar. And so then, being Bhubaneswar, generally people there have a, you know, it's a holy place, so they have a little bit more kind of identity as you know, reading Shastra and knowing Shastra and, you know, all these kind of things. And so Prabhupada's giving a lecture, and at one point then somebody asks, you know, that Krishna spoke, you know, the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and then Vyasadeva wrote it down and, you know, documented as the Mahabharata, and that's how we know about the Gita. But he was saying, well, where did, how did Vyasadeva hear the Gita, or how did he get the Gita so he could write it down? Like, you know, did somebody, you know, did they email it to him? Did they, you know, post him hard copy? You know, I mean, like that, you know, like that. You know, how did he get? And so then Prabhupada then just said, you don't have the qualifications to understand. So he said, so, but the point is that all the acharyas accept the Gita. Right? All the great persons, all the great saints, they accept the Gita. So the parampara accepts it. Therefore, you should accept it. Because you won't be able to understand. So they've accepted it, so it'll work. And then when you become qualified, then it'll be understood. Because actually, what does it matter? You know, that's like asking, you know, these potatoes are so nice and all that, and you know, where are they from? Oh, from the supermarket. Oh, which kind of cart? Did you use just a small little hand one under your arm to get the potatoes, or you were buying other things so you had the big push around one? And if you had the big push around one, was wheel straight, or was one of those ones where, you know, that's always going crooked and it never goes the way you want it to go? Or was it the kind that, you know, when you run it, you know, one of them always goes like this and makes stupid noises and stuff like that? Or, you know, I mean, which one was it, you know? As if it has anything to do and has any value in how nice the potatoes are. But because it's just, it's interesting, I'd like to know. It's just because I, you know, I want to know. So it's actually just an intellectual, you know, need for, you know, gain. Because I want it, therefore it's important. Not that it is important. You know? Yeah.
All right. It's interesting that you mention it, because this kind of questions, it always comes to cause and effect. And you explain it to them. Like, for example, we take Vyasadeva. He saw the entire Bhagavatam, I mean, the whole thing in trance, as it is. And then he dictated it. He saw it, then dictated it to, and then Ganesh wrote it down. So he had the vision. This is the explanation which is in the Bhagavatam itself. But then, like you say, they take and shift the position of cause and effect. Okay, so when did it happen? Where it happened? You know, and getting into unnecessary details.
Yes.
So it becomes just a mental play.
Yes.
So Prabhupada's answer is brilliant. You won't be able to understand. Just forget about it. Don't worry. Because as long as you take the progression, they won't catch the point.
No. Because even you try to mechanically explain, others in the room may get it, but generally the person that has the doubt doesn't.
So it's just an infinite progression in the way.
That's why this verse, which is quoted in the previous page from Dhamma Sutras, Shrutesh Tut Shabda Mulatvat, it's quoted like hundreds of times in the whole Sandharvas.
Yes.
That's like one of them.
Yeah, means it's the, what do you call it? What was that? Is it this page?
No, previous page, Maharaj.
No, Shrutesh Tut Shabda Mulatvat. The defects of the agent do not apply to Brahman. Okay, so then our understanding. Yeah, because it's already been mentioned before that Krishna, everything comes from Shastra, and Shastra comes from the Lord. But then one can, you know, may say, well, you're studying these things, so now it's defective. But no, it remains pure. We may be defective.
Yes. Also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, at the end of the purport, on the second verse of Brahma Samhita, mentions that those who attain Sarup Siddhi, they see Golok in Gokul. And those who attain Vastu Siddhi, they see Gokul in Golok. So you have to be on that level. Because I actually realized that, the deep meaning of that verse when you explain that Golok means the planet and Gokul means the village, in the planet. So then it just clicked, it made perfect sense. Otherwise I just memorized it, but I was always mixing the terms.
But it can also, like for us, we say go to Goloka, we mean Vrindavan.
Yeah.
We're not meaning that you're going to be, often one of the corners of the quadrant, with Vamana Dave or something, we're saying, you'd be. But that's very interesting, because we'll take it, we're here and this is Vrindavan and go look there. It's not, not different, but it's from there they see it the other way. Mm-hmm. So for them, they don't. So in Goloka, when the pastime's there, they can be talking about their husbands, because the places are not different. But there are no husbands there. They're here. But being the same place, you've already referred to that.
That's the last thing explained, the Prakat and Aprakat Leela, and then where they join and where they are. That's same, basically.
Yeah, they're the same, but there's some uniqueness because... We have limited visions. The prakat means that the transcendental is appearing through the 24 elements, that we can see it. Because it's all Krishna's energy, so he can appear anywhere he likes. But it's just so we can see. So that's why as they say, it's a Daru Brahman. Jagannath's appearing in wood, but it's Daru means it's transcendental. It means the Brahman means it's transcendental. Because otherwise, if he's just standard Satchita, we don't see the soul, we don't see anything, but he comes that way. But it's him. Oh yeah, Brahma Samhita means the word Eva.
Omar, it's next page, I think you are.
Oh, okay. So we turned it back. I had already turned it back, and so when you said then the previous page, and I was going, no, it's right here. But we're here, because I looked over here. No, it's not there. Okay. Satu lokas tvaya Krishna siddhamana kritamana. Drito driti mata vira nignato padravan gavam. This place protected personally by you, Goloka, O hero, and which destroys the suffering of the cows and other inhabitants, is the residence of the determined and disciplined devotees. Harivamsa 2:19:35. Yeah, determined and disciplined. Determined and focused is Ekayana, it's on Krishna alone. This indicates that Goloka in the spiritual world and Goloka within the material world are non-different. Therefore, since difference and non-difference are mentioned, it should be concluded that one place manifests as two by difference in manifestation. This will be shown later. Goloka was displayed to the cowherds within Vrindavan, manifest on earth. The eternal manifestation of Goloka also appears above Vaikuntha with greatness for those who worship it. This planet of Krishna has special manifestations as Mathura, Dwarka, and Gokula. Uddhava in separation experienced these through meditation. Shanakher Bhagavallokan Nrilokam Punar Agataha Vim Rijya Netre Viduram Priyahod Bhava Uts Mayan. Gradually returning to this world from the Lord's abode and rubbing his eyes, Uddhava, amazed at the Lord's skill in pastimes, spoke to Vidura with affection. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. When Uddhava was fully absorbed in the transcendental ecstasy of love of God, he actually forgot all about the external world. The pure devotee lives constantly in the abode of the Supreme Lord, even in the present body, which apparently belongs to this world. The pure devotee is not exactly on the bodily plane, since he is absorbed in the transcendental thought of the Supreme. When Uddhava wanted to speak to Vidura, he came down from the abode of the Lord, Dwarka, to the material plane of human beings. Even though a pure devotee is present on this mortal planet, he is here in relation to the Lord for engagement in transcendental loving service and not for any material cause. A living entity can live either on the material plane or in the transcendental abode of the Lord, in accordance with his existential condition. The conditional changes of the living entity are explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the instructions given to Srila Rupa Goswami by Lord Sri Chaitanya. Quote, the living entities all over the universe are enjoying the effects of the respective fruit of results of their own work. Life after life, out of all of them, some may be influenced by the association of pure devotees, and thus get the chance to execute devotional service by attainment of taste. This taste is the seed of devotional service, and one who is fortunate enough to have received such a seed is advised to sow it in the core of his heart. As one cultivates a seed by pouring water to fructify it, the seed of devotional service sown in the heart of the devotee may be cultured by pouring water in the form of hearing and chanting of the holy name and pastimes of the Lord. The creeper of devotional service, so nourished, gradually grows, and the devotee, acting as a gardener, goes on pouring the water of constant hearing and chanting. The creeper of devotional service gradually grows so high that it passes through the entire material universe and enters into the spiritual sky, growing still higher and higher, until it reaches the planet Goloka Vrindavan. The devotee gardener is in touch with the abode of the Lord, even from the material plane, by dint of performing devotional service to the Lord simply by hearing and chanting. As a creeper takes shelter of another, stronger tree, similarly the creeper of devotional service, nourished by the devotee, takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus becomes fixed. Right? Because that's where it becomes fixed. Right? When the creeper is fixed, then the fruit of the creeper comes into existence, and the gardener who nourished it is able to enjoy this fruit of love, and his life becomes successful. End quote. That Uddhava attained this stage is evident from his dealings. He could simultaneously reach the supreme planet and still appear in this world. Srimad Bhagavatam 3, Tom 3, 2, 6, purport.
This was and this purport is one of the Prabhupada's small books. He explains, first time I read there on this point of the creeper of devotional service. It's so wonderful that first the seed is that the shraddha fructifying is where the seed is, that the state of shraddha basically.
State of?
Shraddha to
shraddha, okay.
So that seed of devotional service is given. And that's why even the initiation ceremony is actually initiation, bestowing that seed to the living entity.
Because when it's also it says taste, it means because you can tell there's some difference between there's a taste, but it's not to the volume you would call it ruchi in the developing process. But when it gets to there, then you see it becomes very dynamic.
And it's nourished by hearing and chanting.
Yes. Yeah, all the way through.
All, it's all perfect. The comparison is so.
Yes, yes. That's what we were discussing, was it? The other day about that you have the those who may be following the Veda, but they're distracted by, you know, all the benefits you can get from the Veda. Mm-hmm. So they're not. These are the environments in which the points about the Lord and the devotees and pure devotional service are taking place in, but they get distracted by those because they don't have that seed of taste of devotional service. So then they go off in these other directions. Yes.
Right, this eternal question about this seed, if it's inherent or we get it from the devotees.
Means the seed of devotion you're getting from the devotees, that it gets there, but the point is devotion is inherent in the jiva.
Right.
It's just like food. Eating food. Is that inherent in the child, or is it given to them by the parent? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but does not what they eat by the parent giving them something? Mm-hmm. You know, that's why then probably makes the point you won't understand. Mm-hmm. Because this, no, is it this or is it that? It's kind of like, you know, is the lady a wife or is she a daughter or is she a mother? Which one is it? It can't be all three. This doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It's contradictory. Yes, grow up. You don't understand it? Leave it. The false ego that's there is, no, if I don't understand it, it's not real. It's a big obstacle. Big, big obstacle. Like, huge. Yes.
Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that all the three, external, internal and marginal potencies, then they have their own this samvit, sandhini, ladini, shaktis.
They have their features of.
Oh, sorry. Features,
they have the features, because when those apply on the jivas or on the material energy, then you get.
So the point which I wanted to say is,
okay,
jiva inherently has that brahma jnana, brahma ananda.
Yes, yes.
So that's what is the feature of the ladini shakti. But that doesn't mean he has the feature of the Swarup Shakti. What the Guru does is he connects us to the Swarup Shakti, the feature of the Swarup Shakti, which is Vibhu. And we, by nature, have that Anupotency, which is...
Yes. No?
Yes,
so that's the thing, is that we're taking it, no, I have to have everything, I'm complete, but you're an energy. Krishna is the complete whole. So it's just, this feature is another subtle feature of Maya, how we're still the controller and enjoyer. Just asked in a different way. You know, that it looks spiritual. You know, it's in context of and discussing about spiritual, we get purified and we can advance. But it's still self-centered. That, you know, unless it's in me, how can it be? No, the point is we are an energy. And so therefore, Satchitananda, we are Satchitananda, right? Krishna is Satchitananda. The spiritual nature is Satchitananda. The material world is Asat, Achit, and Nirananda. But so that means they can all be harmonized. But the point is that when the jiva comes in contact with the Swarup Shakti, then that Ladini aspect is actually there. So you have it, it's just like, let's say, you have a puzzle, right? In the puzzle, there's a space of a particular shape. So does the puzzle have that particular shape? Yes. But does it have the piece that goes in there? That's over here. And then you put the piece in. So it means, otherwise, how does it match? It doesn't work. You know, you feed the cow grass. You don't feed the dog grass. Cuts up first class, you know, that really kind of long but really soft grass and everything that grows now and again. You see, the cowherds will be going along when they see that. They go down and cut it. It's not left. You don't walk by that. You know, like that. You know, so it's just like, let's say it's in the hallway in the Brahmachari ashram. The Brahmachari is walking by. There is a half bucket of halava sitting there. You know, and it's after the program, so it's not boga. You know, it doesn't stay there. You know, it goes inside, it goes under your bed, like that. You know, so that's the thing is it's inherent, but it's still, you have to receive it, because that's the whole point. Is that why we were nitya siddha, but we don't come to prema because we didn't receive it. We weren't interested. You know, just like you can say, well, how can we be in the spiritual world and all? How is it the yogic Brahmins are there? Prabhupada says they're devotees. He doesn't say they were some demons or something. He says they're devotees. But they're so distracted by the, you know, existence, the jnana and kriya elements of Braj, that they're not looking at the icha, which is Krishna's pleasure. Well, their wives are. As soon as it comes up, immediately, they go. So they're the pure devotees, while they're not. And so then, now, by the association of the wives, doesn't mean that they can't become. But we even see there, they're worried about, you know, so let's go to Vrindavan and all that and meet Krishna. You know, we went there, you know, we made a mistake. They could have at that time just taken stuff like that, arranged stuff and taken it there and given, oh, you know, sorry, we went like that, we were not. And it would have been another set of prayers, right? You know, like that. You know, like Indra, he's being foolish, and then you have those prayers after the Govardhan Leela or like that. So, but you don't, because they were thinking, oh, but then Kamsa has his spies everywhere and they'll see us going to Vrindavan, and he, you know, he has a problem with Krishna, so then we'll get in trouble. So they were more worried about the external facilities, you know, these jnana and kriya elements of the Dham that are to be used in Krishna's service, but they were just interested that what they had would be maintained. So therefore, then, if they don't become serious, here we are. You know? So in other words, when it comes to not being serious, we're the winners. No?
We're the champions.
Hmm?
We're the champions.
Yes.
Also, that's what in Prema Pratipa, that's where he elaborates on this, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Mm.
Because the other part of the argument is from the Arya Samaj guys. They say, because it's not inherent, then you're artificially reposing. That's why you have to limit it by moral codes of conduct. Yes. Bhakti is good as long as those...
moral codes are there.
Yeah, more on the logic. He says the mood and the relations are good as long as they are controlled by your logic, something, logical thinking or something like that. I couldn't rephrase that exactly.
Mm.
But it's based on their mundane logic. It should work in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the exact...
And it's controlled by morality rather than bhakti controls morality.
So, if it's not natural, it naturally falls in this.
Yeah. Because otherwise, where are these coming from? Because it's like, okay, you have, you know, how you say, just to take a general example, you have Bhakta Jose, right? And so then he's there, he's chanting, he's that, he's come in contact with devotees. He doesn't know what a Mayavadi, he doesn't know what any of these things are, and all that. He comes, he's chanting and hearing. Everyone in the temple is chanting and hearing, you know, doing service and this and that. Where does he come up with the idea that whether this is inherent in the soul or not? Where does that come from? You know what I'm saying? Unless it's coming from somebody's reading something or associating with people they shouldn't be. And then that plants a seed of doubt. And then because that seed of doubt means for those who are sincere, that comes up, and, oh yeah, what's that? That's weird. Okay, and then you answer it, oh yeah, who cares? And then you move on. But for those, then no, it means, because if it's not inherent, I don't have to be doing this. I don't have to be regulating my life like this. I can do whatever I want. That's inherent. You know. So then the point is then you become a dog or whatever it is like that. So is that inherent in the soul? You know? So it has an underlying weakness in that it's pursuing the I'm the controller and the enjoyer. Hence, that's why one shouldn't hear from all those who are, you know. In the modern context, no, you're just being broad-minded, you're hearing all the things, and then with your intellect, you go like that, just so you're doing that. That's like, you know, we're just taking all the opinions, you know, how should we cook this subject? You know, cook it like this. Oh, cook like, well, take them all, put them all together. What will you get?
Fight between north and south.
Yes. Yeah, while that's going on, the Bengalis will be sitting on the side eating their pile of rice with the alu siddha like that. And, well, okay. Yeah.
Mind you, don't put the sugar in something.
That both north and south might say, you know.
To the Gujarat.
Yeah, because that's west. You know, that's, but technically, Gujarat is south. They're South Indians. Mm-hmm. They're the farthest north of south. So from Rajasthan, that starts north. You know. Or Maharashtra, like that. So, you know, it's kind of at an angle with this. You know, and then there's Bengal. So you have Bengal, you know, then you have north and you have south. So.
Also, in discussing this, you know, this kind of things, it's important to clarify what is the opposition want to discuss from what
angle.
Yeah. Because if it's from a pratyaksha point of view, that's one answer. Mm-hmm. If it's more like anuman point of view, that's a different answer. Mm-hmm. And if we discuss on the basis of the scripture, then it's assured. So the example we heard that, you know, when people say inherent, it's not like salt in a seawater. It's not an example because this is gross material example. We can actually extract that salt from the seawater, and it's kind of obvious. Although with the naked eyes you don't see salt in the seawater, it's because it's dissolved. Then the second from anuman, it's like the effect is in the cause. Mm-hmm. For that, you have to be, you know, a little more deep to understand that the effect is, whether it's manifested or not, it's already within the cause. Mm-hmm. Like, say, for example, the material manifestation, it is always there. But sometimes it's manifested, sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But the example, I mean, the simple example I heard, which I really liked, and which city people won't understand, but it is a relevant example. It's like you have a water pump, and it's dry. We know, I mean, everybody knows water is down there. But to get that water, you have to pour some water in there first. Then work it a little bit. Then the water comes back. So it is there, but it has to be vacant. Or like a seed, it's given like a banyan tree, which is it's a kind of a fig tree. So within the seed of a banyan tree, you know, there are many trees like that, because if you plant that, then the banyan tree will grow, will give fruit and many others, so like that. So that sort of inheritance, you know, it's difficult to understand, it's very subtle. So you know, we have to, like you mentioned, when discussing those things, we have to understand the level of spiritual maturity of the opposition. Otherwise, if they demand the answer on a certain level, we don't give it to them. They say it's nonsense. You don't know what you're talking about. So like that. So it's, you know, it's a bit intricate. It's not. It's not that flat. It has, you know, more to it.
That's interesting about that. Yeah, where they're looking for the answer.
Yeah. Because now we have the experience with the students, and it's like, I can't read their mind. I just follow the pattern. But sometimes, I understand where it goes, and then given the answer, you know, they're satisfied. And sometimes giving many answers, and I can feel people are not satisfied.
Yeah, but then the thing is what do they want? Where is it coming from?
And yeah.
That would be the point then to ask them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Is it otherwise, if you answer and it works, then not. If not, then ask.
Yeah.
I observed initially when I was attending classes, you would give a lot of answers and then it goes on and then somebody keeps asking more questions. But after some time, you used to start asking, so what is the doubt? And then it's like, person cannot go here and there, he has to exactly say what he wants. So even using that phrase has a lot of effect on many people, but few people who just want to ask and feel special, and they would anyway do that.
Yeah, then you have to take it back the other way, find out what's the root of it. Because you have an idea, like you said, just from dealing in that, you get an idea from experience what it would be. And then, you know, generally that works. And if it doesn't, then you have to follow it back to what it is. The meaning is clear, right? So Uddhava is, they're establishing that the manifestation of the spiritual world, manifestation of the material world are one. And they can both exist simultaneously, you know, by these examples. Sukadev spoke thus the verse. Vriti, after describing the glories of Goloka, the abode of Lord Krishna, and thus proving its supreme position, the next few verses list the different names by which Goloka is referred to in the scriptures. Anucheda 107. This planet is also referred to as a sky, Divam. Vishnur Bhagavato Bhanu Krishna Kyo Sau Divam Gataha Tada Vishat Kalir Loka Pape Yad Ramate Janaha. When the seven sages entered Magadha constellation, Magha constellation, when Vishnu, the Lord of Vaikuntha, the ray of Krishna, went to Vaikuntha, Divam, Kali entered this world, and people then began to take pleasure in sinful activities. So that's using that Divam. Yavat sa pada padmabhyam Sprishan aste ramapatihi tavat kalir vai prithivim para krantum nachakshakat. As long as Sri Krishna, the husband of Lakshmi, touched the earth with his lotus feet, Kali could not subdue this planet. 12:2, 29:30. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura. But it is said that when Duryodhana began the gambling match during the Lord's advent at the junction of Dwapara, and when at the time he attempted to take off Draupadi's clothing, Kali, ordered by the Lord, took that auspicious moment to gain control of the earth. End quote. True, but at that time the influence was insignificant. When Krishna was present, the four legs of Dharma were also present and people were completely happy. According to the statement of Earth herself, the strength of Dharma at that time was greater than during Treta Yuga. What then is the question of Kali conquering at that time? Sardata Darshani 12:2-30. Because some will make it that because of that breach in Dharma and morality, that's when, you know, the Kali Yuga started and that's when Kali got his control and all that. But it's pointed out, no, Krishna's here and all that. And Bhumi herself was saying it's actually, there's more Dharma than there was in Treta. You know, and that's 3/4. So instead of being half, it's actually more than 3/4. So that's not the thing. It's when Krishna left. Right? Yes?
I think these points are also made in some of the Puranas and all of lower level, because the other one of the teachers, he sent me a video where there are nice explanation about the reasons of Mahabharata happening and all. And then everything seemed dharmically correct, but it's missing the most important point about you know, the Pandavas and Krishna's relation, mm-hmm. how it's all, you know, based on that, bringing out pure devotional service, mm-hmm. that's what misses. Then I commented, and the story is good, but we can't apply it to, you know, those points as it is. He said that was from Uddhava Gita, but none of the Acharyas mentioned, none of the Bhagavatam was, you know, says it in that format, the Uddhava Gita. It's not a direct text. He was asking me whether it's...
So the thing is all these things, as he's making the point here, means it's being discussed at the time.
Yes, yes.
It's one of the popular things among the scholars and those who discuss Leela, because if you make the point is that this is where Kali, then everyone, because that was so bad, and that's when it all started. But the point is, Krishna's still there. So if you're not looking at Krishna, you could say, but the point is he became more under the control of Kali, but the point is Kali can't have that effect as long as Krishna's there. So it just brings that out, is that we want to take it that the Dharma is what makes bhakti. But was that earlier point? Who was making that point? You know, the beginning when we were discussing about the morality is then what generates bhakti. You were saying that.
Unless it is leading to the bhakti, then it's not morality in truth.
Yes, in truth, but it'll generally be taken the other way around. Mm-hmm. That bhakti is not, you know, it's not in truth bhakti until it's based on morality. But it doesn't actually become morality until it's based on bhakti. So the qualities of, you know, you're saying the qualities of the living entity aren't real until they're based on devotion. Then you can say the devotees, those are good qualities. So there's always this thing about, you know, understanding pure devotion or being mixed with dharma, artha, karma, or moksha. So then these are going to be points that are mixed with dharma, because that's got, the doubts will always come up from these four. Right? There won't be. You know, because as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out in the spiritual platform, that there's no on these things of what's spiritual material, there's no difference of opinion in the spiritual world. Is that there may be uniqueness in visesha in the taste, what feature of the Lord they're tasting, what kind of service they want to render in that taste. That there'll be variety, but that's variety, that's not a difference of opinion. Yeah. When Krishna the Son, who has the Gunavatara Vishnu as his ray, since Vishnu is his amsa, departed for Vaikuntha, Divam Gataha. A particular manifestation of Mathura, Dwarka, and Gokula beyond the material vision. At that time, Kali entered the world. Though these manifestations are situated on earth, by the Antardhana Shakti, Shakti which makes invisible, they are present there without touching the earth. Thus, the great Kadamba tree, this will be basically a point that leads into prakat and aprakat.
This after this then discussion about the devotees also. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. No, but I'm just saying this will be filled out.
Yeah.
Because when it's really by the Antardhana, the Antardhana Shakti, the Shakti which makes invisible. Then you don't see the pastimes. So they become apakat, even though they're still going on. And we only then are able to appreciate, to that degree we're devotional, to that degree we can appreciate the connection with Krishna. But if not, then the materialists will just see a material place, because they'll only see the external energy. Thus the great Kadamba tree and other items mentioned in Varaha Purana are not touched by earth and other material elements. The manifestation of Mathura or Gokula, which is visible to material people, touching the earth by mercy, appears in the world. Thus the visible Kadamba is touched by earth, stone, etc. at that time. When the Lord appears in this visible manifestation of the abode, he contacts earth with his touch and exists there. Now, however, he remains in the untouched manifestation, invisible, and thus does not touch the earth. That is the meaning of touching the earth with his feet. The meaning here is that the two states are different and non-different. Though the verse says that as long as Krishna was present, Kali could not enter, Kali actually entered a little before his disappearance. Sukadev spoke thus, the verse. Anucheta 108. Shruti also uses the word svarga to refer to the spiritual world. Tene dhira apiyanti brahma vida ukt kramya svarga lokam ito vimuktaha. The knowers of Brahman, surpassing the material world, become liberated, go to svarga. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.4.8. Right, because we know that they don't attain svarga here. So that must mean the transcendental realm must be called svarga. Right? So it means the root of svarga, whatever it is, that something that's higher, something that's better, or the standard and everything is better, then that's what is being meant, not the actual localized place. Yatu danyapi sa svargam avapa janani gatim krishna bhukta stana kshira kim yu gavo nu mataraha. The witch attained his abode, svarga, as a nurse. What can be said then of the cows and elder gopis whose breast milk was drunk by Krishna? Srimad Bhagavatam 10.6.38. The destination of Putana cannot be a material planet, since her destination is made distinct from that. The section strictly forbids any other destination than the spiritual world for anyone associated with the Lord. And other statements indicate that she directly attained the Lord. Sad veshad iva putanapi sa kula tvam eva deva pita. You awarded yourself even to Putana and her family members because she wore the guise of a nurse. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.35. In the beginning of Kena Upanishad is said, pranasya pranam uta chakshushas chakshur ati mucha dhira pre yasmau lokat amrita bhavanti. Knowing the life of the life, the eye of the eye, the wise leaving this world attain the immortal. Kena Upanishad 1.2. Then it says, Tad eva brahma tam viti, no brahman. Kena Upanishad 1.4. Amritam vindanti, they attain that which is immortal. Kena Upanishad 2.4. Satyam ayantam, no, ayatanam. The Vedas are the eternal abode. Kena Upanishad 4.8. The conclusion is, Yova itam evam Upanishadam veda pahyatya papmanam anante swarge loke pratishtati. He who knows this Upanishad destroys all sins, attains the eternal spiritual abode, swarga loke. Kena Upanishad 4.9. In Narayan Upanishad, the questions are tata ko vasudeva kim tadvanam ko va swargaha kim tad brahma. Who is Vasudev? Who is the forest? What is Swarga and what is Brahman? The beginning is Purushoka Vai Narayanaha. Narayan is the Supreme Person. This is repeated with Nityo Deva Eko Narayanaha. The one Narayana is eternal. After praising Narayana worship, the text says that Narayana is Brahman, and to indicate Swarga, or the spiritual world, the text says Vaikunta Lokam Ramishyati tad idam puram idam pundarikam vijnana ganam tasmat tarid ava bhasham. He will go to Vaikuntha, a place shaped like a lotus, full of knowledge, which shines like lightning. It states that Vaikuntha is full of bliss. Its presiding lord is Narayana, who is actually Krishna. For in the conclusion it is said, Brahmano devaki putraha. Brahman is the son of Devaki, Narayana Upanishad. Sukadeva spoke thus the verse. Anucheta 109. The abode is indicated by the word kashta, direction. Bru Yogeshwara Krishne Brahmanye Dharma Varmani. Swam kashtam aduno pete dharma kam sharanam gataha. Please tell us where Dharma has taken shelter now that Krishna, the master of all yogas, devoted to the righteous and protector of Dharma, has entered his abode. Swa kashtam. Oh, okay, I was going to say. Okay, all these will be just technical. Yeah, tomorrow no class. That one won't be forgotten, right?
No.
Yeah, it's no class in the morning or evening. Okay. Right? So Akashtam means his direction. He has gone to the place where he resides eternally after giving up the material world. Shaunaka spoke thus the verse. Briti, having explained that Golok is the topmost planet in the spiritual sky, next the author proves that Dwarka, the place where the Lord Krishna performed his earthly pastimes as the protector of Yadus, is eternal. Right? So all the different features all have to be, all the different manifestations. Anucheda 110. That Dwarka is the eternal abode of Krishna is expressed in the following. Satyam bahyad iva gunebhya urukramanta shete samudra upalam bana matra atma nityam ka indriya ganai krita vigrahastvam tvat sevaker nripa padam pidhutam tamon dam. Yes, my Lord Urukrama, you lay down within the ocean as if afraid of the material modes, and thus in pure consciousness you appear within the heart as the supersoul. You are always battling against the foolish material senses, and even your servants reject the privilege of royal domination, which leads to the blindness of ignorance. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:60-35. Briti, BBT Purport. In text 12, Lord Krishna says, Raja Bhyo Bibhyata Su Ru Samudram Sharanam Gatan. Out of fear of the kings, he took shelter in the ocean. Here, Srimati Rukmini Devi points out that the actual rulers of the earth are the gunas, the material modes of nature, which impel all living beings to act. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that because Lord Krishna fears that his devotees will come under the influence of the modes of nature and become entangled in sense gratification, he enters the internal ocean of their hearts, where he remains as the omniscient supersoul, upalambana matra atma. Thus he protects his devotees. The word upalambana matra also indicates that the Lord is the object of meditation for his devotees. In text 12, Lord Krishna also said, Balavadbhi krita dveshan. We create enmity with the powerful. Here, Srimati Rukmini points out that it is the material senses which are actually powerful in this world. The Supreme Lord has taken up the battle against sense gratification on the part of his devotees, and thus he is constantly trying to keep them in their struggle, help them in their struggle for spiritual purity. When the devotees become free of unwanted material habits, the Lord reveals himself to them, and then the eternal loving relationship between the Lord and his devotees becomes an irrevocable fact. In the same verse, Krishna stated, Chakta Nripa Shanam. We renounced the royal throne. But here, Srimati Rukmini Devi points out that the position of political supremacy in this world usually implicates so-called powerful leaders in darkness and blindness. As the saying goes, power corrupts. Thus, even the Lord's loving servants tend to shy away from political intrigue and power politics. The Lord himself, being completely satisfied in his own spiritual bliss, would hardly be interested in occupying mundane political positions. Thus, Srimati Rukmini Devi correctly interprets the Lord's actions as evidence of his supreme transcendental nature. The meaning is this. Previously, Krishna spoke to Rukmini, Raja Bhyo Pibhyata Subhru Samudram Sharanam Gatan Balavad Pi Krita Dveshan Prayas Chakta Nripashanam.
Oh.
This is when he's joking with her.
Yeah.
And then she explains after. Oh, okay. Terrified of these kings, O lovely browed one, I took shelter in the ocean. I had become enemies of powerful men, and I practically abandoned the royal throne. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:60-12. He was joking, asking, why did you choose me as your husband? Rukmini answers with the verse. Atma and Tvam are both agents. Since Tvam does not have a proper verb, there is disregard for grammatical agreement of the subject and its descriptive elements. The faulty grammar is because of Rukmini's troubled state. It is employed to convey a second meaning through comparison. This verse is an example of an unstated comparison. Lupto Pama. The witness, Atma, manifests itself without disturbance. Shete, sleeps eternally in the heart, which embodies the Shakti of Jnana. Upalam Bana Matre, which is unfathomable, Samudre, or uninterrupted by material objects, as if afraid of touching the transformations of the gunas. O Urukrama, similarly, you play secretly, Shete, should be Se She, with pastimes of bliss, emanating from your Sarup, eternally in your boat called Dwarka within the ocean, absorbed spiritually as if in Vaikuntha, though it appears you are afraid of kings, affected by the gunas, gune biha. Because of the meaning, the verb form is changed from she te to she she in the analogy. The place remains eternally. Dwarakam harina tyaktam samudro plava yat kshanat. Varajayitva Maharaja Srimad Bhagavadalayam. As soon as Dwarka was abandoned by the Supreme Lord, the ocean flooded it on all sides. O king, sparing only his palace. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:31-23. Nityam sanni hatas tatra Bhagavan Madhusudanaha. Smrityashe sha shubha haram. Sarva Mangala Mangalam. Lord Madhusudana, the Supreme Lord, is eternally present in Dwarka. By remembering that most auspicious of all auspicious places, one destroys all contamination. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:31-24. If the Jiva was to take shelter of you, has no fear, then you have no fear. But in either case, you are neutral in those situations since you are absorbed in pastimes in your abode. It is only like fear. This is the solution to Krishna's statement. The evil nature of the enemy is described. Atma fights with the senses having various inclinations. You fight with kings having low senses. In both cases, the surrounding item is audacious. What is the loss if you give up the throne? It is given up, Pidutam, by those who have worshipped you from the beginning. Seva Kai. Quote, wanting your association, the best of kings, Anga, Vainya, Jayanta, Nahusha, Gaya, and others, abandoned their absolute sovereignty and entered the forest. How could these kings, fixed at your feet, suffer frustration in this world? O Lotus Eyed One, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:60-41. They give up the throne because it is ignorant, filled with material happiness. Thus it is indicated that Dwarka is eternal. Rukmini spoke thus to the Lord. Briti, Mathura is eulogized as the eternal abode of the Lord in the next few Anuchetas. Anucheta 111. Mathura is eternal. Rajadhani tata sabhut sarva yavat bhujam. Mathura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sannihito Harihi. Since that time, the city of Mathura had been the capital of all the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The city and districts of Mathura are very intimately connected with Krishna, for Krishna lives there eternally. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:1-28. Udriti Srivabhava. It is understood that Mathura city is the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna. It is not an ordinary material city, for it is eternally connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vrindavan is within the jurisdiction of Mathura, and it still continues to exist. Because Mathura and Vrindavana are intimately connected with Krishna eternally, it is said that Lord Krishna never leaves Vrindavana. Vrindavanam parityaja param ekam nagachati. At present, the place known as Vrindavan, in the district of Mathura, continues its position as a transcendental place. And certainly anyone who goes there becomes transcendentally purified. Navadvip Dham is also intimately connected with Brajabhumi. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Sri Gaura Mandala Bhumi Jeva Jane Chintamani Tara Hoy Brajabhumi Vas. Brajabhumi refers to Mathura Vrindavan, and Gaura Mandala Bhumi includes Navadvip. These two places are non-different. Therefore, anyone living in Navadvip Dham, knowing Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the same personality, lives in Brajabhumi, Mathura Vrindavan. The Lord has made it convenient for the conditioned souls to live in Mathura, Vrindavan, and Navadvip, and thus be directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simply by living in these places, one can immediately come in contact with the Lord. There are many devotees who vow never to leave Vrindavan and Mathura. This is undoubtedly a good vow. But if one leaves Vrindavan, Mathura, Navadvip Dham for the service of the Lord, he is not disconnected from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At any rate, we must understand the transcendental importance of Mathura Vrindavana and Navadvip Dham. Anyone who executes devotional service in these places certainly goes back home, back to Godhead, after giving up his body. Thus, the words Mathura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sannihito Harihi are particularly important. The devotee should fully utilize this instruction to the best of his ability. Whenever the Supreme Lord personally appears, he appears in Mathura because of his intimate connection with the place. Therefore, although Mathura and Vrindavan are situated on this planet, Earth, they are transcendental abodes of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.128 purport. The inhabitants are also eternal. Sukadev spoke thus the verse. Anucheda 1.12 Tattata gacha badram te yamuna yas tatam suchi punyam madhu vanam yatra san nidyam nityada harehe. O child, good fortune to you. Go to pure Madhuvan on the bank of the Jamuna River, where the Lord resides eternally. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.8.42 Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Both Narad Muni and Suniti, the mother of Dhruva Maharaj, advised Dhruva Maharaj to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now Narada Muni is especially giving him directions how this worship of the Supreme Lord can very quickly fructify. He recommends that Dhruva go to the bank of the Jamuna, where there is a forest of the name Madhuvan, and begin his meditation and worship there. Places of pilgrimage yield a special advantage for a devotee in quickly advancing in spiritual life. Lord Krishna lives everywhere, but still it is very easy to approach him in holy places of pilgrimage, because these places are inhabited by great sages. Lord Sri Krishna says that he lives wherever his devotees are chanting the glories of his transcendental activities. There are many places of pilgrimage in India, and especially prominent are Badari Narayana, Dwarka, Rameshwaram, and Jagannath Puri. These sacred places are called the four dhams. Dhamma refers to a place where one can immediately contact the Supreme Lord. To go to Badari Narayana, one has to pass through Hardwar on the path to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, there are other holy places of pilgrimage, such as Prayag, Allahabad, and Mathura, and the topmost of them all is Vrindavana. Unless one is very advanced in spiritual life, it is recommended that he live in such holy places and execute devotional service there. But an advanced devotee like Narad Muni, who is engaged in preaching work, can serve the Supreme Lord anywhere. Sometimes he even goes to the hellish planets. Hellish conditions do not affect Narad Muni because he is engaged in greatly responsible activities in devotional service. According to the statement of Narad Muni, Madhuvan, which is still existing in the Vrindavan area, in the district of Mathura, is a most sacred place. Most saintly persons still live there and engage in the devotional service of the Lord. There are 12 forests in the area of Vrindavana. and Madhuban is one of them. Pilgrims from all parts of India assemble there together and visit all 12 of these forests. There are 5 forests on the eastern bank of the Jamuna: Bhadravan, Bilvavan, Lauhavan, Bandiravan, and Mahavan. On the western side, there are 7: Madhuvan, Talavan, Kamudravan, Bahulavan, Kamyavan, Kadiravan, and Vrindavan. In those 12 forests, there are different ghats, or bathing places. They are listed as follows: 1. Avimukta, 2. Adhiruta, 3. Guhya Tirtha, 4. Prayag Tirtha, 5. Kanaka Kala, 6. Tinduka Tirtha, 7. Surya Tirtha, 8. Vata Swami, 9. Dhruvagata. Dhruvagata, there are many nice trees and of fruits and flowers. Where there are many nice trees of fruits and flowers is famous because Dhruva Maharaj meditated and underwent severe penances and austerities there in an elevated spot. 10. Rishi Tirtha. 11. Moksha Tirtha. 12. Buddha Tirtha. 13. Gokarna. 14. Krishna Ganga. 15. Vaikuntha. 16. Ashikunda. 17. Chatush Samudrika Kupa. 18. Akrura Tirtha, where Krishna and Balaram were going to Mathura in the chariot driven by Akrura. All of them took baths in this ghat. 19. Yagika Vipra Stana. 20. Kubja Kupa. 21. Rangastala. 2. Manchastala. 23. Malayuta Stala. And 24. Dashwamedha. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.8.42 purport. The meaning is clear. Nard spoke thus to Dhruva.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.